go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back for the final installment of our very important and thought-provoking conversation with John Gaunt, the star of John Gaunt Show's podcast in the United Kingdom, a very accomplished and award-winning journalist for decades in Britain, and really an extraordinary leader in trying to challenge and educate the rest of us about what we all are facing, we in the West, in the civilized world, at the hands of people who seek to impose their doctrine of Sharia upon us through violence or through stealth. And John, one of the things I'd like to, again, use as sort of a teachable moment for us in this country is this program that has been called Prevent, that the UK government has practiced for years. It's been actually a model, I think, for the approach that the Obama administration took. And to some extent, that's continuing even under Donald Trump, who sort of rejected the Obama approach. Would you talk a little bit about some of your experiences? I mean, we've really been talking about them, but specifically, how badly wrong the British government has gotten all this, in part because of Prevent?
Prevent is about as much use as a chocolate fire guard. I mean, it's just ludicrous. The idea is that you can change the radicalization. The other lie they put forward is that all these kids are brainwashed. The 7/7 bombers, oh, he was a lovely Yorkshire lad. He liked playing cricket and he worked in our fish and chip shop. We never knew he was a radical. What a load of garbage. We know where the hotspots are. We know where the radicalization is happening. But our government, the first thing Theresa May said, I think after the latest outrage, either the Manchester one or the London Borough Market one, was the first thing she said was trying to warn people against retaliation. And she never mentioned the I word, Islam, the Muslim word, Muslim, you know, the M word. And she immediately turns it into an attack on the internet and saying we need to control it and i.e. take away more of our civil liberties. And also they seem constantly concerned that there'll be some non-Muslim backlash, which there hasn't really been, despite them telling us there's a rising tide of Islamophobia. And then they come out with these reports saying, well, after the terror attacks, there was some retaliation. Well, it's like, no, you know what, Sherlock. There's bound to be when British people, British children, have been blown to smithereens and vaporized in a dance hall in Manchester. There's bound to be a little bit of adverse reaction. Not that I condone it, I don't. But that's bound to happen. But suddenly, almost within 24 hours, sometimes sooner, the whole Muslim community is being painted as the victims, not the people who are lying in body parts in the dance hall or have been crushed by the lorry or blown up in Barcelona. It's just ludicrous. And now we're told by the Metropolitan Police the other day, we had the EU guy tell us there's 35,000 jihadis. We were told by the Metropolitan Police, one of their head of terror, that we've got to get used to living with terrorism. He also told us there were 600 investigations at the moment into jihadis in the United Kingdom, and they couldn't cope with it. Meanwhile, Theresa May cut 20,000 police jobs, but still the emphasis is on, will the rest of the community start picking on Muslims? Which, of course, you don't want them to do. But what we do want is this scum, this jihadi scum, taken off our streets. And the people who are funding it need to be stopped.
Yeah. And John, in addition to those very sensible points, I do want to make sure that we're also warning about and taking corrective steps against this sort of stealthy form of jihad, civilization jihad, as the Brotherhood calls it. You've had it there. You've been describing it in practice. We have it here as well, where you have under the guise of the organizations like, the Islamic Society of North America, the proliferation of mosques, which create essentially the infrastructure, not all mosques any more than all Muslims, but you do see these Islamic supremacists, Sharia supremacist organizations building infrastructure for the violent kind of jihad, even if at the moment it's sort of the stealthy kind. And you mentioned, John, that we're being told by some, notably in the UK, we just better get used to it. The mayor of London is one of those who has said it, and you're telling me that he's now being regarded one of the most influential politicians in the United Kingdom. Give us a straight dope on him.
Sadiq Khan, Muslim mayor of London, said a few months ago that terrorism is something we have to get used to. It's part and parcel of living in a major city. Well, I'm afraid, Mr. Khan, it's not part and parcel of a major city that I and the majority of Brits want to live in. We need to eradicate, as Donald Trump says, we need to erase these jihadists. I mean, Sadiq Khan, he may as well raise the white flag over City Hall, or he may as well raise the black flag of Islamic State. And then this man, this jumped up son of a bus driver, actually turns round and says that our democratically elected Prime Minister and Her Majesty the Queen, who invited Mr. Trump to come on a state visit and stay at Buckingham Palace and then stay at Windsor Castle so we could get these trade deals done. Sadiq Khan says he's not, the president of the free world, is not welcome in London. What an utter disgrace this man is. He will scupper a deal with the United States by insulting Donald Trump. Now, listen. We all disagree on politics now and again. And he can disagree with Donald Trump. That's fine. What he should not be able to do is basically send a message around the world that he, the mayor, okay, of our capital, can go against Her Majesty the Queen and the democratically elected Prime Minister. It's terrible. But he's just been voted Britain's best politician by one of these trendy liberal magazines, the very kind of magazines whose editor will be the first to be pushed off the 25th floor of a tower block when the jihad revolution happens and take over in the United Kingdom.
Sharia supremacists will make short work of him. Let me ask you, John, quickly, we've got just a few minutes left. One of the other places where I think your experiences are important to us as well, in addition to, you know, not getting the prevent policy mistake compounded, is in your prison systems. Would you talk very quickly about what's happening there and what lessons you would like those of us on this side of the pond to be taking from your experiences there and more generally?
Well, we've got a position now where many of our prisons, our maximum security prisons, have actually been taken over by jihadists, effectively, whole wings taken over, where they're radicalizing other prisoners. Well, one of the reasons is that if you become a Muslim, you actually get better food, believe it or not. You get more recreation periods to do prayer, etc., etc. Let's face it, prisons are run by gangs, and the biggest gang often now in prison is a Muslim gang. And we've got a disproportionate amount of Muslims compared to, I can't tell you the statistic, but it's a disproportionate amount of Muslims who are in prison. So now the government have even devised this new thing, prisons, within maximum security prisons, to hold these and segregate the worst ones, people like Amjad Chowdhury, the killers of Lee Rigby, you know, the ones who beheaded that soldier in the streets. So that's what they're doing now. But I mean, again, it's all too little, too late. We need to cut off the funding. We need to go to places like Dewsbury, where the 7/7 bombers came from. You know, it's like, you know, I call it the independent Islamic State of Dewsbury. There are mosques there funded by the Saudis, which are preaching hatred and are preaching anti-Western values. Well, why don't we just close them down? That doesn't mean we have to close down all mosques. And as I keep saying, I've worked at BBC London with many Muslims, and they're fine people. And I'm a great believer, just as I'm sure you are, because America is based on immigration. I believe in well-controlled immigration. What I don't believe in is open borders and just let everybody in without checking who they are. If you value your country, you surely have a right to say
from the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
That's a racist policy.
John Gaunt, with that, we have to close. Thank you for this extraordinary hour of conversation. I hope it will be the first of many. I appreciate what you do on your side of the pond, and teaching us about your hard-learned lessons is a real service on ours as well. Thank you so much. Come back to us again very soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.